Father, we pray that as we consider these words of Jesus today, you will speak to us. Your Spirit will rest on us. And we will go away today filled with new resolve to love you. Amen. I love you to the moon and back. Has anyone ever heard a child say that? I love you to the moon and back. When our kids were small, that wasn't really a saying. And the biggest thing that they could think of to express their love was aeroplanes. So it was, Mum, Dad, I love you, 2,000 aeroplanes stacked on top of each other. I wonder if you've heard kids say things like that. Children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, friends, kids. They love to talk about love, don't they? And I'm really pleased that I get to talk about love with you today. So let's dive into this passage. What's going on here? Jesus is being tackled, let's put it as it was, tackled by various people who think they can trick him into saying something stupid. His reputation has got higher and higher and higher, so here come the clever people, and they're going to trick him, and they're going to make him look foolish. The trouble is, they may be very clever, but if you are the man who is God, you are cleverer than anybody. And no one seems to be able to trick him. Anyway, along comes this teacher of the law, someone who has given his life to studying the law of God and all its ramifications in daily life. And he comes along and he hears these debates going on and he's thinking, Jesus is doing well here. He's doing really well. I wonder if I could ask him my biggest, most burning question. At least that's what I think's going on in his head. So he waits for a pause in the conversation. He says, Jesus, just answer me this. And inside he's thinking, because this is what I spend my life thinking about and studying. Answer me this. Of all the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and then all those other ones in the law, which things are the most important? And I think that maybe there was a bit of a hush at that point, because there'd been the debate going backwards and forwards, and everyone was slightly hoping that someone would get the better of Jesus, and maybe it had been a bit antagonistic. And then someone comes in with this question that comes from the heart. Maybe there was a bit of a hush, and they all thought, ooh, what's he going to say to this one? And Jesus says, the most important commandment is this: the Lord your God is one. There is only one God. Love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I know the Mark version has only three of those, but elsewhere it has the four. Let's put them all in: heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment that is most important is this: love your neighbour as you love yourself. And again, I think everything went still. And the man said back to Jesus, he said, you're right. You're right. To love God with all that you are, to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all the burnt offerings, all the things that the Old Testament set up as expressions of love to God. More important than any of that is just to love God with all that you are. And in the stillness, Jesus looks at that teacher of the law, and he says, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. And if I were that man, I think my heart would have started going pounding within me. Because what Jesus said to me was so powerful. Not far from the kingdom of heaven, me. He's seen who I am. He's seen me through and through, and he thinks that I've understood something. And that understanding might be taking me near to the kingdom of heaven. And if I was him, I would have gone away wanting to know more and more and more about Jesus, not just more and more about the law that I'd always studied. And then it says, mysteriously it says, and after that no one dared to ask Jesus any more questions. And I thought about that, and I thought, why wouldn't they dare? And I think it's because the atmosphere had changed from debate to someone encountering the living God in Jesus. And it was such a holy and important moment that actually all of those things they were going to ask about suddenly didn't seem very important. And they didn't dare to ask any more questions. Something so significant has happened. Last year sometime, I was thinking about these commandments and thinking, Jesus said these two things were the most important. Love God, heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus said they are important, and I don't think I've given them enough consideration in my life. So what I started trying to do was in the mornings, before I'd even quite woken up, before I'd said hello to anybody, and I'm sometimes quite grumpy in the mornings at that bit, I thought, I'm going to try and apply those commandments. So I would say to God in my head, lying in bed, half asleep, God, today, I want to love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Today, I want to love my neighbour as myself. And as I did that day after day and week after week, I started thinking more about what that might mean to do those things. How do I love God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength? Now, I didn't make it too complicated because I'm not a very complicated person. I thought, okay, my heart. In today's world, the heart is about our emotions, isn't it? It wasn't quite like that back then, but I'm going to apply it for today. And I thought, well, I'm quite an emotional person, you know, have my moments up and down, cross and happy. Lord, I want to love you today with all of those emotions, through all of those emotions, underneath the up and down of my emotions. I want to love you through them. Mind. How can I love you, Lord, with all my mind? I want to love you today with all my mind, but I know how easy it is for my mind to start thinking silly things or destructive things or unhelpful things. I know that I don't always fill my mind, like St. Paul said, with good stuff. I can be distracted by the bad stuff. Lord, I'd really like to use my mind to love you today, to be worthy of you. My soul. Difficult to define the soul, isn't it? How can I love you, God, with all my soul? And in the end, I decided that for me, it was the deepest part of me, my essence. Lord, I want to love you today with all that I am, my deepest, deepest part of you. I want the compass of my life. You know how compass faces north. I want the compass of my life, Lord, to face you. And then my strength. Surely I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, says the psalmist as he thinks about his body. How, Lord, can I love you with my strength, my physical strength, today? I want to love you, Lord, with the things that I do, with the way that I use my body, with the way that I do with my work, with the way that I interact with my family, with the people I meet and how I treat them, how I look at them, how I shake their hand. You see, this whole thing just goes on and on, getting bigger and bigger the more you think about it. And Lord, I want to love my neighbour as myself. Now, I wonder, there's a little tripwire in there, I think, especially in our century. I want to love my neighbour as myself. My guess is that there are a number of us in this church who struggle sometimes to love ourselves. But the big wide world is constantly telling us we're not good enough. We don't earn enough. We don't look right. We're not clever enough. Whatever it is. And that was the one I began to think about more as I said, Lord, I want to love my neighbour as myself. Please help me to love myself. And to love my neighbour like that too. So, interesting and fruitful time. I promise you I didn't think all that lot every single morning. But as I thought those, as I prayed that prayer in my head every morning, I began to think of more of those things. And what I'm telling you now is the fruit of months and months and months of praying that. Because I thought, if this is important to Jesus, then it's important to me too. Now, at the same time, as part of my work for CPAS, training people in leadership, we were looking at well-being. And there's lots of stuff out there in the big wide world about well-being, isn't there? There's a lot of stuff about meditation and mindfulness and how you look after yourself and the good life and what it might look like. I bet we've all read some of that stuff somewhere. And as I thought about it, I noticed that some of the people who wrote about well-being and looking after yourself and mindfulness were talking about five things. They were talking about how you need to look after your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health, how you need to care for other people, how you need to look after every part of you. Did I get to five? But basically, they were the same things. They were saying you need to look after your emotions, your heart. You need to look after your mind, your thoughts. You need to look after your soul, your spiritual being. You need to look after your physical being, your strength. And you need to focus outwards. And I kept coming across variations of these five things in all sorts of places. Advice on people with depression. Advice for people who are trying to live their lives to the fullest possible extent. All sorts of people were talking about it. And I reflected two things. I thought, aha, Jesus got here first, guys. And also, they've got the focus wrong. Because the focus of this was, how can I feel great by looking after my heart, my mind, my soul, my body, and turning out and facing some other people? How can my life be good? How can I feel good about myself? Whereas Jesus was saying, yes, you need to look after all of those things about your life. But the focus of it all is on God. Now, I agreed to come and preach today knowing that we were having a holiday. And I was coming home last night, and Malcolm and I were in Portugal. And thank you, yes, we've had a really nice week, and the weather was mixed, and it's all been great. However, I didn't know that our plane was going to be a little bit late and we therefore missed the connecting train back from Manchester to York, and I therefore wouldn't get to bed till 1 o'clock this morning. But in Portugal yesterday, just yesterday afternoon, I was swimming in the sea in November. It was fab. And actually the sea was a bit, there were some great waves and it was buffeting us about. Anybody else like that? Stick your hand out if you've ever swum in the sea and really enjoy being buffeted by the waves. Yeah, it's a good feeling, isn't it? And we were watching people trying to get into the sea and the waves kept pushing them over and they were laughing their heads off. And I suddenly thought, oh, this is part of that loving God with all my strength. God and I are having fun together in the sea. As his waves buffet me, as the sun shines on me. This is fun. And the more I kept thinking about those verses, the more I have over the last 18 months, I guess, the more they've come to apply to a load of my life. But the focus is on God and the focus is on worship. So, yesterday, thank you, God, for the sun. Thank you for the waves. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you for all these people enjoying the sea. Because it isn't just about my well-being, it's about turning it back to God. So Jesus got there first as to what the good life looks like. It means taking care of all those areas in our lives, but as a matter of worship, not of selfishness, not of our own being. Jesus got there first, but also, how great of God to command things as his first two commandments that would be great for me. That God doesn't just command me to love him because he needs my love. He commands me to love him with all that I am because he knows that will be really good for me. And that's the best possible way I can live. Now, sadly, even if I try my best to do that, it doesn't mean that life's all going to be easy. Bet you know that one already. It's tough following God. It's tough learning to love him with everything. But we know that tough things are worth it, don't we? I wonder how many of us in church have ever stood up and made promises in a wedding service. All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you. Bonkers, bonkers promises. And however much we think about them beforehand, we never know what living them out is going to be like until we get round to doing it. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you. And in some ways, this commandment to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbour as ourselves, is even bigger than those promises we might make to someone else in a wedding service. Or maybe if that image doesn't work for you, maybe it's a little bit more like the hokey cokey. What? Well, it is, isn't it? Put your right arm in, your right arm out, left arm in, left arm out. Gradually, as you sing this silly song, shall we do it? No, okay. As you sing this silly song, more and more of you is being put into the game, isn't it? Until what's the last verse? You put your... Thank you. You put your whole self in. So Jesus might have been referring to the hokey cokey. Love God with your whole self. And it's tough and it's hard, but like the hokey cokey, there's a whole load of laughter along the way, and there's a whole load of people who are doing exactly the same thing as you and who can help you when you fall over or forget to turn around or don't clap your hands or all of those things. Who managed great, great, brill, brill, wicked, wicked, skill, skill? I don't think I've ever sung it that fast. Oh my goodness. I loved it. Thank you. But with the hokey cokey, you put more and more and more of yourself into the game. And that's what God asks of us. So my question to you this morning is, I wonder what it would look like for you. Now, I don't know the circumstances of your life. I don't know whether life is really easy or really tough at the moment. But what would it look like for you to go away and think about, how can I love God? Just think of it for today. For the rest of today, how can I love God with all my heart, all those emotions that tumble through me? How can I love God with all my mind, the things that I might choose to think about or absorb for the rest of today, what I might watch on the telly or on the internet? How can I love God with all my mind in that? How can I love God with the deepest part of me in the middle of kids or lunch or sports or whatever it is? How can I do that? And how can I love God with my strength? How can I thank him for this gift of physicality that he's given me and use it wisely for him? How can I love my neighbour as myself? I love it that you've done 100 shoeboxes. That's amazing. Well done. That's one example, isn't it, of loving a neighbour as ourselves. Fantastic example. And if you take up the challenge to pray for them for a month or so, that's even better. Well done, that would be great. But I wonder what it looks like in your life. I don't know, do you talk to each other in this church? If I gave you just 2 minutes to talk to the person next to you about what you've thought about what I've said, how would that go? Ready? Go on, have a go. 2 minutes, go. Okay, folks, your time's up. How did you get on? Were any of you talking about what I said, or was it the football results? Or, yeah. Anybody got anything they'd like to tell us about what you said?
We all thought one of the hardest things is to love oneself and to remember that God loves us as we are.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Anybody else?
We were talking about lots of things, but one of the things about what you watch on TV and how that can influence your thoughts and how you feel and everything. And
yeah, it's a biggie, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's stuff coming at us all day long from all sorts of places, and we need to be wise in that. Yes, thank you. Anybody else?
I thought about the sole of my foot.
You were thinking about the sole of your foot and where your feet are going and where your pathway's going. Yes, yes. God's promise to guide us. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening. We go back to the beginning. I love you to the moon and back is maybe what children say. I think from God's point of view, it's I love you to the earth, to the cross, to the resurrection and back. That love is so great. So great. God delights in us. If he had a fridge, he'd have your photo on it. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. And our challenge is to absorb that and to love him back again, because we can't even do any of this loving God without him helping us. Let's just be quiet for a moment and pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you gave your greatest treasure, Jesus, to show us how much you love us. Thank you that you teach us how to obey the commandments of Jesus. Lord, we want to love you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. We want to remember that you love us. We want to be able to love ourselves and our neighbour as ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for each other and for the encouragement we can give each other in this journey of love. And we pray that you will fill us again with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.